Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier behind the glass as well. The Titans set to hire former Bengals offensive coordinator Brian Callahan to be their next head coach. And to talk more about that, we bring in Rocky Boyman, of course, former Titans linebacker, but also does radio in Cincinnati for WLW. Rocky, good morning. How are you?
Chase, Joe, how are you guys? Pleasure to be with you.
Doing fantastic. Thanks for doing this. We're excited here in Nashville about Brian Callahan becoming the Titans head coach. Obviously, a lot of success there with Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. But what are the Titans getting in Brian Callahan as their new head coach?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, first of all, you're getting a young, creative mind. You're getting a guy who's 39 years old, and the trend in the NFL these days seems to have that kind of coach, an offensive-minded, younger coach who has a history of developing quarterbacks. And last time I checked, that's something that the Titans desperately need, right? They need someone to develop Will Levis. Brian Callahan, he's of course worked and gets a lot of credit for developing Joe Burrow and turning him into one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's also worked with Matthew Stafford in Detroit, Peyton Manning back in Denver. He comes from a football family. He's coached under Zach Taylor for the last, 5 years here in Cincinnati. I think Zach Taylor's done a good job, both developing Burrow, but also creating a pretty creative offense. So I would say this, the only unknown really with him is, you know, Zach Taylor called the plays here in town. Like, he was the guy on game day that was calling the plays. Obviously, Callahan was developing a lot of those plays and a big hand in that during the week. But in terms of calling them on game day, that was Zach Taylor's duty. So a little bit of unknown there, but by all accounts, a very, very good coach in Brian Callahan.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, and I feel like that's a trend, though, that we have seen, that you have these guys that are coordinators or assistants, you know, from the Shanahan McVay system that don't call the plays. Yep. Then they get head coaching jobs and they do call the plays. And, you know, we've seen Mike McDaniel. It seems like they haven't missed a beat. So what can you tell from you know, the outside looking in of what Brian would do as the OC, especially during the game, in working with Zach Taylor on picking what plays to call, even though Taylor was the one physically calling the plays?
Right. Well, and I mean, to your point, you know, Zach Taylor was never an offensive coordinator. He was a quarterbacks coach under Sean McVay, but he showed enough chops and the Bengals had enough confidence in him to make him the head coach. And I think you ask any Bengals fan that they would say that was a situation that worked out well. I think people are overall very pleased with Zach Taylor here. And I think the thing, at least that I saw this year, was a bit of a different dynamic because Joe Burrow had gotten hurt. And Joe Burrow the Bengals offense is very Joe Burrow driven, right? When you got a guy of that kind of talent, you kind of hand the keys of the car over to him and, you know, what formations does he like and what sort of things does he like, that sort of deal. But when Joe Burrow went out with the injury, and of course Jake Browning came in, I'll never forget that first week against Pittsburgh, the Bengals offense looked terrible, right? Because it looked like they stuck Jake Browning in a Joe Burrow offense, right? Well, that's, you know, what works for Joe Burrow doesn't work for everybody, right? So, but what I think you saw literally the next week and the next few weeks throughout the season was this offense evolve, right? There was more screens. There was more emphasis on the run game. There was more under center. So at least that showed me that, you know, Brian Callahan is a coach that not only isn't a coach that says, well, this is the way we're doing it and you're going to make it work this way. No, he has the mind and the understanding to say, hey, what is my quarterback good at? What does he like? What puts him in the most advantageous position and allow him to do it? I think you saw that here this year, and I think that'd be a good sign for Titans fans.
We are talking to Rocky Boyman this morning on the Chasing Big Joe show. And Rocky, at 9:30, we had Gary Kubiak was on the show and talked about hiring Brian Callahan in Denver, and he said that Peyton Manning and the late, great Greg Knapp, who is one of the most underrated offensive coordinators of all time, unfortunately passed away a few years ago, came into his office almost on day one, Rocky, and said, you have to keep Brian Callahan. You have to keep him here for his knowledge, his work ethic, and everything else. How strong is that, Rocky, when you get these two guys come in to a new coach and basically demand that he keeps Brian Callahan?
I think that's all the recommendation you need, right? When a place is trying to fight to keep a guy and they don't want to let him go, but they understand, hey, there's an opportunity and that's what's fair for him. But yeah, that's the best kind of compliment that you can get is like, hey, this is a guy we have to have in our building. And again, I think you're talking Peyton Manning, you're talking, you know, Stafford, some of these quarterbacks. That's what it's all about. And I know, especially when it comes to the Titans, it's can Will Levis develop into that passer? And that's what Brian Callahan's number one job is going to be. And because I think, you know, Will Levis has showed a lot of potential. He has a lot of tools, but there's been some things missing in his game. And is Brian Callahan the guy that can fix that? I think Titans fans are betting on that, but that's how he's going to be judged. And that's going to be his number one job. And if he does that, then the rest of the offense, the rest of the team will fall into place.
I don't know if you remember this or not, Rocky, but the Titans' first preseason game last year, Mike Vrabel sat out and let one of the assistants be the head coach for one game. And talking to the assistant afterwards was like, wow, yeah, there's a lot of things that you don't realize that you need to do as a head coach. How long of an acclimation project do you think it is, Rocky, for a head coach to like, all right, I'm now the CEO of this entire team, not just of my position?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It always is. And I'll relate a story that, you know, of course I played with the Titans, but I played 2 years with the Colts. And I remember talking to Tony Dungy, our head coach, and he would always run the scout team defense. And I asked him one day, I'm like, why would the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts run the scout team defense? And he said, Rocky, this is the only time I get to actually coach football. The rest of the time I'm handling all these other duties, like what time are we leaving to go to the airport? What time is the team meal? You know, what sort of, you know, this, that sort of thing. So I think is the biggest jump for a head coach from a coordinator or from a position coach to a head coach is understanding that you have a lot more duties outside of the X's and O's. I think it'll be real interesting. I've not seen if Brian has said this or not. Is he going to call the plays? I think it would make it much easier on him if he hired an offensive coordinator and allowed him to run it. That will help that transition. I know here in Cincinnati, at times when the Bengals offense has struggled here and there, folks have said, you know, how about Zach Taylor give up play calling duties, and, you know, just to kind of help him acclimate to being the head coach. I think that'll be interesting. But yeah, the biggest hurdle he's going to have is understanding that he's not just getting into the minutia of what's the defense doing and what play do we call on 3rd and 3 and what, you know, that sort of scheme sort of stuff. It's all the other organizational culture stuff that comes with being a head coach.
The scuttlebutt is he will call plays from what we're hearing, but that hasn't been confirmed yet. And I'm sure that'll come up at the press conference. Talking to Rocky Boyman, could you see him bringing some people with him from Cincinnati? Could Dan Pitcher be one of those, or do you think Dan becomes the OC there with the Bengals?
Well, I'm pretty sure from everything I've heard here in Cincinnati, the Bengals are fighting, scratching, clawing to keep Dan Pitcher here in town. So, I imagine that's an opportunity. I imagine that Brian would look to try to bring Dan here. I don't know as much about Dan Pitcher, but I think everybody seems to talk very highly of him. And I know he has connections to Oakland, and there's a possibility of him going out there and looking at a position as well. But, I mean, look, that coaches want to bring guys that they've worked with, guys that they know they can rely on in certain situations. So that means coaches that you've coached with. So I imagine he'll try to pull a couple coaches off his Bengals staff.
Rocky, do you like the way the game of football offensive-wise is headed? Because, you know, everybody's now, like, clamoring for the Mike McDaniels, the Zach Taylors, and the Sean McVays and all that. Because I think football is so cyclical. It's like 10 years from now we'll be talking about how great the running attacks are for all the NFL teams. What's your thoughts on where the offensive part of this game is going now?
Well, look, to me, if you ask me what's the thing that I love the most about football is I love that cyclical nature. I love how it's kind of a cat and mouse game, and it's the punch counterpunch nature. It's like, you know, when the run and shoot was the big fad, right? Then all of a sudden teams started running 3-4 defense. They had to find an answer, right? So they started running 3-4 defenses. Then Lawrence Taylor kind of basically ended the run and shoot offense.
Right.
And then, you know, then there was the era kind of, you know, when I played that, you know, where there was still fullbacks and some, you know, coaches, you know, teams were running power. And then offenses started spreading out, so defenses couldn't have, you know, 250-pound middle linebackers. Now look around the league. All the linebackers are, you know, sometimes 215, 220. And mark my word, you know, and some teams already do it. Like the 49ers, they're going to go and get a humongous, big old offense and pound the ball against tiny linebackers. I love that kind of back and forth. Now, if the question is this offensive guru people like Mike McDaniel, is that going to be the answer, the trend? I think there's a lot of evidence that would say have an offensive-minded coach in today's NFL is the right way to go, just because it's such an offensive-driven game. It's such a quarterback-driven game. So you kind of want someone that really understands the intricacies of that side of the ball and that position. But look, again, I think it will. There will always be that cyclical nature about football, and I think again, that's the part I really love about it.
Rocky, as you can imagine, a lot of our listeners have said, hopefully Brian Callahan can bring a certain receiver that has Tennessee ties to the Titans, even though I think T. Higgins is going to be staying in Cincinnati. They probably tag him. But what do you think that could happen with Higgins, and could Tyler Boyd possibly be on the move because they simply cannot keep all three?
Yeah, well, one of those two are going to be gone. There's no doubt about that. It's just do are both of them going to go? If I were the GM of the Bengals, well, we don't have a GM, but you know what I mean. I would probably tag T. Higgins, just because right now this Bengals team, it's still a younger team. Joe Burrow is still kind of in that window, as they say, and you want some continuity with that. And there's some holes on this Bengals roster. While it's still a good roster, there's some holes on it, and you can't address all of them. You can't address tight end, offensive line, defensive line, and wide receiver, right? You can't do it. So you want to keep as many known commodities as you can. The tag exists in the collective bargaining agreement for a reason. It's meant to be used, and I would imagine the Bengals will tag him for probably to the tune of $21-22 million a year, which ain't bad. Whew, yeah. And I think they'll go about it that way, because I just can't see him, you know, Joe Burrow, I guess, living with losing both Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins.
Well, Rocky, we appreciate the insight this morning, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks so much.
Rocky Boyman, former Titans linebacker, and, of course, does radio now in Afternoon Drive on 700 WLW in Cincinnati. Good insight there.
He brought up a concern that I had.
We'll discuss that.
Yeah, we will.
Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.